You know, there a while back, Mo and I were standing outside talking about being long-winded once you get up here. Thinking, well, yeah, you want to avoid being long-winded. I would hope that I won't be long-winded up here this morning. So I think that I should be able to start wrapping this talk up around maybe 2:30 this afternoon. Just kidding. It reminds me of a joke. Now, if you've heard this, just bear with me, but it reminds me of a joke about where two members of the church were talking, and one asked the other, says, how long do you usually sleep on Sunday? To which the other one said, well, it depends. He goes, depends on what? Depends on how long the preacher talks. You know, one thing I'm struggling with right now is I'm going to have to replace my computer. It's giving me all kinds of problems. But I don't know whether to go with a laptop or one of the little iPad things. And you see, when it comes to this technology, I'm a real dinosaur. I've been so computer illiterate that I can never understand how a computer can catch a virus. It never made sense to me. If you will, turn with me over to Matthew, the 13th chapter. This has to do with a parable that Jesus is relating. And I'll be reading the 3rd and the 9th verses. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, and because they had no depth to earth, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. I see, that does say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Then we can jump over here to the 18th verse. Jesus explains this parable. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes, and we know who the wicked one is, of course. The wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Now, and we've all really known people like this. You know, you talk to them about the gospel or whatever. And it begs the question, why would they not understand? What is there not to understand? Well, I dare say that probably they don't understand because they choose not to understand. And of course, you know, Satan causes them to doubt anyway. Now, basically, they know they can't argue with what the Bible has to say. So they just choose to deny it, to ignore it. And maybe some, you will hear some will say, well, I believe in God, but it's... I knew something like that was going to happen. I believe in God. I just don't believe in, quote, organized religion. You know, I once saw a bumper sticker that said, I believe in God. I just don't like his fan club. And, you know, many times you'll hear these people say, Christians are too judgmental. Christians are not open-minded, to which I always would say, well, you know, it's great to be open-minded, but you don't want to be so open-minded that your brains fall out. you know, you'll hear somebody say something like, well, being a Christian is not being intellectual. It's not intellectual to believe all those fables that we read about in the Bible. Well, to that I would say, have you ever heard it said that some ideas are so ridiculous that only an intellectual could believe in them? Now let's go to the 20th verse here. We explains the next person. But he who receives the seed on the stony places, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Now we've all seen people like this. Someone who's willingly, eagerly obeys the gospel, and to start with, their full zeal. And they can't wait to go share their faith with family and friends. But then after a while, you just don't see them anymore. And maybe it's because perhaps they thought once they become a Christian that all their problems were going to go away. And when those problems don't go away, they get discouraged and they give up. You know, if when you teach somebody the gospel, if you could convince them, if you could guarantee them, if you could promise them that all their problems would go away once they became a Christian, this building would be full. But of course, that's not reality. Then maybe it's just a case of where when they do go to share their faith with their families, they get made fun of. They get put down. So they become embarrassed. They become ashamed. So what do? They choose to please, rather than pleasing God, they choose to please their families. So if you go with me over to Matthew, the 10th chapter, and I'll be reading the 36th and 37th verses there. This is what Jesus thinks of somebody that I just described here. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, how could this have been avoided? What would this person need to do to have avoided this? Well, of course, he should have been given himself enough time to grow in the word before he thought he could go out and teach somebody else. Now, if you would please turn with me over to Second Peter, the first chapter, the 5th through the 8th verses. This is how they needed to avoid this problem, this not growing, being influenced by others in the family. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge. To knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see that in order for them to be good ground and good soil, they would have had to have grown from the time that they first obeyed the gospel and the word. Now, let's go back to Matthew 13 again.
Okay, read, starting there in the... I got to get in the right chapter, excuse me. Okay, starting with the 22nd, there in the 22nd verse. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. Now, once again, we've all seen people like this. After they obey the gospel, they start to miss things that pertain to their old life. And they begin to... They become to cave in on their faith. They become occupied with worldly cares. The cares of, you know, of worldly gain. And these cares overtake them. Slowly but surely, they get in the habit of missing worship, and they avoid contact with other members of the church. Things like this. You know, maybe, just maybe, too often, it's a case of them missing their old life of sin and the pursuit of pleasure. Maybe they would rather than turning to God for when they get into tough times or whatever, it's not desirable for them. They would rather numb themselves, maybe with alcohol or drugs or both. You know, what does the Bible have to say about a person like this? Let's go back over to 2 Peter. Okay, would be the second chapter. The 20th through the 22nd verses here. Now this is talking about somebody who had come to the knowledge of truth. For if they had escaped the pollution of this world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandments to deliver them. But as it happens to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. It's not a pretty sight, is it? Basically, I'm talking about is a dog licking up its own vomit, its own puke. I mean, that's enough to gag a maggot, isn't it? But that's how they're viewed from these scriptures. Now, going back to Matthew 13. I don't know why I didn't have this. A little quicker on the draw with these page turning. Anyway, let's read the 23rd verse there. But he who has received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Well, you know, coming from my own personal experience, I haven't always been good ground or good soil. There's been times in my life where I seared my conscience, and I was more concerned about what the world thought of me than pleasing God. And, you know, there was times when I tried to get myself restored and get back on that path of righteousness, only to stumble again and again. You might say that I played the prodigal son one too many times. But because of God's patience, because of his mercy, because of his grace, I finally got to a place in my life where I thought, there is nothing in this world, in this life, that's worth me giving up my faith for. Now, this morning you need to ask yourself this question. What kind of ground, what kind of soil are you? Now, you may believe that you're good ground, you're good soil, and that's good. That's the way you should feel. But at the same time, you need to cultivate that ground and that soil. You need to weed that ground and that soil. Anybody who's ever raised a garden knows what happens if you don't keep that garden weeded. Those weeds will take over. Anyway, in any case, the lesson is yours. Now, I can go ahead and be long-winded if you like. I can stay up here and talk about what I'm going to do this coming week or whatever, but I think I got the point across, and I hope you will find this lesson of some benefit to you. Now, if there's anyone here we can assist in getting into the right relationship with God, why not let that be known at this time as together we stand and sing?